Thank you for checking out the Detroit Church Podcast. We're a growing community in the heart of the city, and we exist to awaken Detroit to the greatest adventure of all time. Although the pandemic causes us to adjust our methods, our message stays the same. God, through Jesus, is making all things new.
Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Detroit Church family and all of those that are watching us online. We are so glad that you are tuned into our service today. I'm so glad to be standing before you. Pray for me. I'm a little nervous, but I'm so excited because I know that God has a word for all of us today. And so let's go right into the scripture. As Pastor Sonny said, we'll be finishing out on John 17 or John the 17th chapter. And so I'll read from verses 20 through 26. It says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. So over 40 years ago, my father wrote One Love about unity, peace, and universal love during a time when there was much trouble in the world. His daughter, Sadella Marley, said in a statement, even in a time when we aren't able to get together, his message remains true today. We can get through this global crisis if we come together through one love and one heart. That was a quote from the daughter of reggae legend Bob Marley this summer in reference to COVID-19. In the year of 1965, Marley penned a song that would have a lasting impact on generations to come. The famous song lyrics that most of us, if not all of us, have heard at one point or another, whether it was at a club, at a party, in a backyard gathering, on a cruise ship, or either way that you, or any place you were, I'm guessing that you may have heard these words. One love, one heart. Yeah. Let's get together and feel all right. Okay. All right. That was my little vocal chops. So there is no doubt that Marley, although born in Jamaica, would be aware of the civil unrest that was taking place here in the States. When he wrote this song, America would find itself in the midst of what most will call the most divisive time in its history. Whites over here, blacks and browns over there, segregated for no other reason than the pigment of their skin. Yes, America was in trouble. And while no doubt hearing of and then seeing this trouble firsthandedly, Marley has the propensity to write a song about unity, realizing that the remedy of the civil unrest that he and America was experiencing was unity. Unity found in this: one love, one heart. Let's give thanks and praise to the Lord, and I will feel all right. Now, my brothers and sisters, we find ourselves 50 years later, or over 50 years later, standing in the place that many of us never imagined we'd be. We find ourselves yet again at one of the most potentially divisive points in modern day history, and I fear that America is in trouble. We're witnessing the social injustice, the housing discrimination, unequal sentencing and unfair policing, sexism and the abuse and commodification of the black and brown female body, and I fear that America is in trouble. When it's hard to find unity in the church and we can't even agree on major issues such as social injustice found in the gospel, which would equate to the value of the human life and experience, I fear that America is in trouble. We're standing just days away from one of the most pivotal times in our lives. Some would argue that this is the most controversial, probably divisive, life-altering election that we have seen in at least 30 years, which would mean my lifetime at least. Whether you're on one side or the other, you must admit that we are staring division right in the face, and I fear that America is in trouble. And honestly, my friends and family, I don't think that it's just a coincidence, as Pastor Sonny and Deli was just speaking about, or even happenstance, that we find ourselves literally in on a prayer that Jesus offers, talking about unity for not just us, but for believers in general. It is not a coincidence to me that we're speaking about this today. And so we find ourselves here in the what some would call the high priestly prayer, which Pastor Sonny said last week should probably better be referred to as the Lord's Prayer, because we do see Jesus giving the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father Prayer is what people have begun to call it, where he gives us a prayer that many of us repeat. Me being a hospice chaplain, when I go around, that's the prayer that a lot of people want before I leave. Can we do the Our Father prayer? And so that's the Our Father who art in heaven prayer. And that's more honestly an outline for us on how we should pray, and an outline on how to structure our prayer. It's good to repeat as well. But what we find ourselves now, we're hearing Jesus pray, the high priestly prayer is what people call it now. And so last week, Pastor Sonny dealt with the first 1 through 19 verses, 1 through 5 being the verses that Jesus prays more so for himself. Verses 6 through 19, he prays for his current disciples at the time, which were the disciples that we've come to know today, the ones that we hear about and we read about. But then verses 20 through 26, we now see Jesus praying for you and I, praying for the believers that will come based on the word of his disciples. Yeah. Isn't it a blessing to know that Jesus was concerned about us before we were ever born, and that he cared about me before I was born? And so if he cared about me before I was born, surely he cares about me today. You know, honestly, I can confidently, like the young preacher from Detroit, maybe not a preacher, but the young preacher from Detroit say, ain't it a blessing? We made it out of temptation after all of that happened. All right. So he wasn't a preacher, but I can definitely say, ain't it a blessing? Right. And so we can proudly proclaim that we have a God, we have a Savior, a friend found in Jesus Christ that cared for us and cares for us. Not only did he love me, but he loves me. Before the foundations of the world, before I was formed in my mother's belly, before I was, as my grandfather would say, boy, before you was even a twinkle in your daddy's eye or a smile on your mama's lip, God knew me. Yes. And so here we find ourselves back at the scripture, verses 20 through 23. And we already read it earlier, but here we see Jesus express time and time again that his desire for you and I is that we be one. That we be united, even as he and the Father are one, he desires that we be one. He even adds that our oneness or our unity will be the thing that's an indicator to the world that he was sent by God the Father. Isn't it amazing that Jesus says here that our unity plays a major role in how people view him? We now see Jesus praying and reaffirming what he stated a few chapters prior. In John the 13th chapter, verses 34 through 35, we see Jesus saying, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. So now the question then has to become, have we did a good job loving each other? Have we loved others the best that we can? Have we loved others the way that Jesus loves us, without partiality, bias, prejudice, or hidden agendas? Have we loved without selfish motives or love that is solely connected to our best interests while not considering the well-being of others? Now, before you answer that question, let me add that this does not just include people that look like you, sound like you, grew up in your community, or are familiar to your social groups, mirror your complexion, or are a part of your cultural religious upbringing. People that you don't understand, people that you can't relate to, people that have little to nothing in common with you and share no resemblance with you at all. Have we loved each other in a way that will point others to a living Savior? My brothers and sisters, This is no indictment. This is a moment for all of us to consider the way that we have loved. Have we loved the way that we should? I found myself this week while I was constructing this sermon, pausing often to repent and asking God to forgive me for not loving others the way that I should have, for not treating everyone I come into contact with as image bearers of God, recognizing that no matter where they are, no matter where they're from, they are an image bearer of God, which is referred to as the Imago Dei in Latin, meaning image bearer of God. Now, before you tell me, well, this scripture is for us loving each other, not us loving the world. Well, although some people have kind of made that a thing now, the fact of the matter is you never know who is a believer. And furthermore, we are called to love everybody. You'd be surprised how many conversations I've had or witnessed that are centered around the fact that we only have to love our neighbor. I want to tell you that everyone walking this planet is created in the image of God and is deserving of love. Deserving of love, not just from you or not just from God, but also from us as well. Jesus' blood doesn't just cover one particular ethnic group, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, Indian, African, Jamaican, Dominican, male, female, young or old. Jesus' blood is for all of us. His blood was shed for everybody. If I was in an old Kojic church, I'd have you shout back at me. Oh, but I won't. I'm not going to have you shout back at me today. The point is, Jesus is for everybody. And in chapter 13, he gives us a commandment. And now in chapter 17, he prays that we live out that commandment. And that commandment is to love. I'll tell you that the real issues we're experiencing today, the real issues we're facing in the world and in America today is not political issues, but it's heart issues. If we as the body of Christ will love each other and become united, can you imagine the impact that we would have on the watching world? The way that the world would know that we follow Jesus, the way the world will know that we follow God and that we are children of God is not based on any of our self-fulfilling righteous deeds. It's not based on our pseudo-holy appearances. It's not based on our rich religious jargon and being able to sound good, being able to check off boxes that somebody else created a criteria for what holiness means. That is not how the world will know that we are followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus here in the text says, the way they will know that you follow me and that I'm in you and you are in me is if you love each other. So then this brings us to the point of how do I love like that? How can I love those who don't really care about me? How can I love those who I don't have a good rapport with? How can I love those who I can't stand? How can I love those who I don't understand? How can I love those who gloat in my failures versus rooting for my success? How can something so simple, so seemingly easy, when taking a deeper look into it, seem almost impossible? How do you ask me to love those who intentionally hurt me? Those who name the name of Christ, but toward me bear no fruit of his name. I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that it's no easy feat when you're trying to do this on your own. It's not easy at all. And it's almost, if we're relying on our human inclinations or our human flesh, it's almost an unachievable task. If we are depending on our own ability, we are almost certain to fail. However, through the Holy Spirit, through the power of Jesus Christ living and working on the inside of us, we are able to love those who seem unlovable. The glory that Jesus manifests to us, the love that he has shown us, he shows us that and reveals it to us through his Spirit. So verse 25 and 26 says, O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Jesus says here that the world doesn't know you, but Father, I know you. And they know that you have sent me because I made your name known to them, and I'm going to continue to make it known so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. His love, his Spirit living on the inside of us. This phrase, as scholars state, has a covenantal undertone relating to the Old Testament after God had given Moses the law at Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb. He came to dwell in Israel's midst and would reassure them of his presence. As a matter of fact, it was a big deal. God later gives Moses instructions on how to build this portable tabernacle, often referred to as the tent of meetings. God shows his desire to tabernacle and live with the children of Israel. Before, when God would speak in more theophanies, or a theophany is generally a visible manifestation of God that is often accompanied by fire or smoke. That's how God would often respond and speak to his people. That's why we see Moses standing at a burning bush. We see Elijah calling down fire from heaven. But here, this is where God is saying to Moses, or showing us through Jesus as well, that he no longer desires to dwell with the children of Israel in a distant way. No longer would Moses or the people need to come up to God. No longer would they need to take trips around and up the mountain, but God desires to come down to them and to live in their midst. One writer says that God began a descent that in John 1 and 14 comes to a climax in the person of Jesus. And when it says the word became flesh and dwelt among us, the tabernacle at that point, or at that time, was portable on purpose in order to show the people that God was going to go with them, be with them, and be in their midst. Jesus now says in the current text, "Father, I want your love to be in them, and I am going to be in them." That's why I love reading the Old Testament so much now and seeing the connections between what Jesus was saying and what Jesus was speaking, because the whole purpose of this tabernacle in the Old Testament was to point us to the work that Jesus was going to do when he came. And now today, we can confidently say that he lives on the inside of us. He's not only in our midst, but he's in our being. It's just like the old songwriter said, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own." And he prayed for us then, and Jesus intercedes for us now. And the way that we know we have been born again, and that he lives in us, and that it is not just based merely on what we say or what we do, but it is based on how we love and how we love each other. John continued this conversation. I'm pretty much wrapping up, band, if you want to come. John continued this conversation, no doubt after hearing this prayer, no doubt after John witnessing this prayer and seeing it firsthandedly. John then picks it up in 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse 15 through 21. I normally wouldn't read the whole scripture, but I'm going to read it. My professor always says that a scripture well read is a sermon half preached. Sometimes we do so much trying to get around and add stuff and do all of this for the scripture. But honestly, if we can read the scripture well and get a good understanding of what Jesus and the scriptures are saying, that's a sermon that's almost over. And so in 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse 15 through 21. It says, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and he hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother." My prayer today is that we will love the way that Jesus loves us. Man, family, I don't stand here perfect or claiming to have this down packed or claiming to have reached some level of success in my love. Because as I said earlier, I found myself this week constantly repenting and asking God to help me to see others the way that He sees them. Standing in need of the Holy Spirit to continue the work that He started in me. May we love each other and may we know each other. May our hearts burn for the Father and may our hearts pour out on each other. May we come into fellowship with each other with genuine relationships and doing life together. As Pastor Sonny and Deli mentioned a little earlier, in our life groups and in our D groups in our church, may we become closer to God and do life together. May we love deeply. The truth is, if we're going to love in this type of way, it's going to take some level of relationship. The Bible shows us in Acts that the early church or the first church, that they loved each other, that they worshiped together, they had everything in common, they shared everything, none of them lacked for anything, and God added to the church daily such as should be saved, not necessarily because of what they were saying, but because of the love they were showing. May we love deeply like that. May we know each other. May we go out of our way to get to know our brothers and sisters. May we love deeply. And what better way to become closer with each other than with sharing of Holy Communion? And so as you prepare your articles, I'm just about finished. I want you to prepare your articles at this point. Grab your juice or your wine. Grab your water. Grab your bread, your cracker. It's not necessarily what's in your cup. It's not necessarily the bread that you have, but it's all about what they resemble. And so we find ourselves here ending in John 20 through 26, reminding us of the descent that God decided to do in order to come and live among us. He chose to be like us so that we could know Him more deeply and that we could partake in communion, remembering the suffering and the agony of our Lord, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, remembering the love that He has for us and that we are to have for each other. I started with saying that I fear that America is in trouble, but my brothers and sisters, perfect love casts out fear. The hope of this world, the hope for this country is found in the love of Jesus Christ. And that's what we have to offer. We have love that we can offer everyone. We can make a difference if we love. If we love, we can change a lot of things around us. I guarantee you it's not going to be your political party. It's not going to be who's in the White House. It's not going to be the elected officials, although they may play an important role. It's not going to be solely on them. It's going to be on the love that we share to everyone we come into contact with. In this scripture, John 20 through 26, we see Jesus just moments away before He goes to the cross. He gives us the remedy to the issues that humanity has been facing since the beginning of time. But before He gives us the remedy, which we see the greatest act of love ever displayed on the cross a few chapters later, before we get to that point, before we get to the remedy, Jesus prays. I believe that that's a great example for us as believers. Before we try and fix what we think is wrong, and before we try and remedy our issues, and before we try to fix other people's issues, may we pray for ourselves and may we pray for each other. May we pray that God's righteousness will be revealed in us and that His glory will be revealed in us. May we pray that we will be united even as He and the Father is one. That's the same way we are to be one. So family, just before we take communion, can we pray? I don't know where you find yourself today. I don't know if you have accepted Jesus into your heart, but I want to let you know it's not hard. It's all you have to do is believe. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe that Jesus died for your sins. Believe that He rose again with all power in His hands. Believe, just believe. All you have to do is believe. I know there's so many things out there, especially on social media, so much clickbait, so many things you can scroll. If you want to be saved, do this. If you want to be right, you got to do this. No, if you believe, it's as simple as that. Get connected with the church. You can get connected here at Detroit Church with the life groups. You can get connected. But find yourself a Bible-believing community of Christians and walk this life. Walk this walk with somebody who loves you, knowing that you can love intimately with others. And that love is possible through the work of Jesus Christ. So Father, I pray that you would be with us in this moment. Father, I pray that you would forgive us. Father, I pray for those that are watching, maybe they haven't given their heart to you. Father, I pray that you would touch them right now, that you would allow them to see how much you love them. Lord, would you let them know how much you care about them, and that no matter what they've done, no matter what they've experienced, would you remind them that there is nothing that can separate them from the love of Jesus Christ? That no matter what the enemy tries to tell them, that they are loved by you. Father, would you allow your word and your voice to be louder than any distraction, louder than any demonic voice. Father, I pray that you would let them know how much they are loved by you. Lord, I pray that you will remind them that they are your child, and that before they were ever formed in their mother's belly, that you knew them and that you loved them, and that you sent your son Jesus to die for all of us. And so, Father, as we participate in this moment of communion, I pray that we will remember the work that you did for us on the cross. I pray that you would allow us to remember the hurt and the pain that you suffered for us in order to rescue us from ourselves. And Father, we thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. So family, I hope you have your elements. Communion is such a great moment for us to come together. And if you're in your home, this is a great time for you and your family to participate in such a worship together. You know, Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." You can eat your bread at this point. After the same manner also, after he had supped, he took the cup and said, "This is the New Testament in my blood. As often as you drink this bread, eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death and suffering till he come again. Drink ye all of it." Family, we love you so much. I know you saw me smile, and I promise you this was a serious moment, but I was ready for this juice. I love you all so much. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. Please get connected. DetroitChurch.com. You can find out how to get connected with our life groups, which can plug you into a D group so that we can do love and life together. I love you, and we'll see you next week at 10 a.m.
Thank you for listening to the Detroit Church Podcast. We'd love you to subscribe, like, and rate. And if you're not already, you can follow us on social media by searching for Detroit Church.